Hello, and welcome to Talking Opinions. I am your host, Anthony Livingston Hall. Today's talk is on the Trump presidency. Just days ago, Joe Biden called it a toxin. I say it is tantamount to a geopolitical pandemic that has infected every facet of life in every corner of the world. I say this because people have contacted me from all corners just to tell me so. This is why I hope that, like me, you will find the Trump presidency a perversely fitting topic for this first talk. But I clearly cannot do justice in this forum to a topic with so many tentacles. So I'm going to limit this talk to the cottage industry of books, which this presidency has spawned. So here it goes. Donald J. Trump proved long ago that Americans are as hooked on Hume as they are on drugs. This explains news anchors covering his snarky tweets, like drug dealers pushing dime bags as treats. But it also explains publishers peddling books about his presidency, like cartels shipping cocaine in bulk. Ah, sidebar. And given the way my mind works, I'll be taking them from time to time. If you think of news as more private business than public service, the inordinate amount of time cable stations spend covering Trump's tweets, press conferences, and campaign rallies makes perfect sense. After all, there's a reason why their de facto motto is, if it bleeds, it leads. The point is that everything Trump does appeals like rubbernecking car wrecks or watching Archie Bunker. And if that reference to Archie Bunker is lost on you, suffice to know that it's an old comedy show that makes Curb Your Enthusiasm look woke. But back to the topic. I laced a recent commentary with unbridled glee as I hailed Simon & Schuster, the biggest cartel of them all, for its record-breaking sales. It did so with the publication of tell-alls by Trump's niece Mary and his former national security adviser, John Bolton. Yet still I mused back then that forthcoming books by his former lawyer Michael Cohen and Washington Post reporter Bob Woodward would probably sell even better. Unfortunately, just as it is with addictive drugs, it doesn't take long for the high from each book to wear off. This leaves the addict chasing the proverbial dragon, trying in vain to recapture the feeling of that first high. And so it is that, despite the thrill of buying each new book, the Trump addict invariably finds the joy of reading it never lives up to the hype. But junkie is as junkie does. Which brings me to this week's publication of Disloyal by Michael Cohen and Compromised by Peter Strzok, the former FBI agent who alleges that Trump ran for president as Putin's Manchurian candidate. By the way, as I record this, Rage by Bob Woodward is, well, all the rage. This even though it won't be published until next week. I have toked on most of these books, but I'm no dragon-chasing junkie, which I shall prove by effectively ignoring Cohen's book. Well, except to note that we hardly needed his book to tell us that Trump is a cheat, a liar, a fraud, a bully, a racist, a predator, a con man, as Cohen asserts. Because Trump himself provided incriminating evidence time and again throughout his presidency that he is all those things and more. In fact, his open and notorious behavior provoked me to publish a commentary last year saying as much. While I'm at it, the same holds for that report in The Atlantic, which had everyone all shocked last week. This because it quotes Trump ridiculing people who serve in the military as suckers, and those who die in combat as losers. You'd never know that this is the same Trump who repeatedly denigrated the late Senator John McCain, a bona fide war hero, as a loser. Not to mention the infamous way he tormented the Khans, the Gold Star parents whose son died in Iraq. That said, I am equally inured to the Trumpian temptation of Strzok's book. FYI, he spells his name S-T-R-Z-O-K, Try pronouncing that phonetically. But I'd be remiss not to acknowledge the unimpeachable integrity and authority he lends to the gravest allegation anyone has ever made against Trump. That allegation is that Russian President Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin was secretly controlling Trump during his presidential campaign. Further, that Putin is still controlling him, because only that explains the dereliction of duty inherent in Trump's humiliating, kowtowing refusal to criticize Putin even for putting bounties on the heads of U.S. soldiers. Strzok's professional assessment is that Trump is a full-fledged Manchurian candidate installed as America's commander-in-chief. He writes that his intent was to have the FBI launch a counterintelligence investigation to find out just how compromised Trump had become, hence the title of his book. Remarkably, though, Trump foiled that investigation, not only by willfully mischaracterizing it as a hoax, but also by using leaked messages between Strzok and his FBI lover to get him fired. Say what you will about Trump, it boggles the mind that this was all it took to foil what would have been the most critical investigation in the history of the FBI. Except that I smell a rat, folks. I mean, I get that Trump's Roy Cohen, Attorney General William Barr, threw a monkey wrench in Robert Mueller's attempt to investigate this aspect of Trump's collusion with Russia. What I don't get is that career agents at the FBI never picked up where Strzok off. You'd think every top agent would have been seized with the realization that the security of the nation depended on doing so. Because it did, and still does. I said from the outset of his presidency that history will judge Trump's Republican enablers far more harshly than Trump himself. But imagine the ass-kissing nature of Barr's mal and misfeasance that he has us now longing for the halcyon days of Jeff Sessions. Hell, this SAB had a furloughed Cohen thrown back in prison at Trump's behest in a brazen attempt to extort his promise not to publish his tell-all. Still, Strzok's allegation must resonate with anyone who is not a die-hard member of Trump's cult. It is, after all, the only thing that explains why, with Trump, all roads lead to Putin. I am still relishing the finger-wagging way House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made this charge to his face during that now famous meeting at the White House last October. But here too, with all due respect to Strzok, I began calling Trump a Manchurian president over 3 years ago, not to mention that Trump effectively outed himself as Putin's useful idiot at that infamous press conference in Helsinki 2 years ago. As it happens, though, nothing proves the truth of this allegation quite like Trump doubling down on his allegation that Barack Obama is the treasonous one for spying on his campaign. This clearly makes no sense, but Trump can't help his congenital impulse to react to any damaging allegation against him by projecting the same elsewhere. I'm no psychologist, but even I diagnosed this trait 4 years ago when he was calling for New York authorities to close down the Clinton Charitable Foundation. Back then, I argued that Trump seemed wired, like no one in the history of mankind, to reflexively and sometimes impulsively accuse others of things he knows he is guilty of. Hillary might not have known it, but she famously triggered this impulse when she ridiculed him as Putin's puppet during one of their presidential debates in 2016, because Trump could not help projecting when he countered, "No puppet, no puppet, you're the puppet. No, no, you're the puppet." Remember that exchange? But I regret to say that no revelation in any of these books will prove the pill that deprograms any member of Trump's cult. Not to mention that Trump has revealed 100 things about himself, each one of which should compel any person of sound mind to not only vote against him, but damn him to prison for the rest of his life. The problem is that, with every big lie or shattered norm, Trump is giving credence to that infamous assertion he made in January 2016, namely that he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and not lose any voters. Back then, he said, it was like incredible. But we now know it was not incredible at all. For he revealed who he was, and they still voted for him. This is why I maintain that every norm-shattering outrage that has littered the Trump presidency says far more about the Americans who support him than about Trump himself. I have often drawn analogies in this regard to the rise of Adolf Hitler during the 1930s. I suspect you too have wondered how so many Germans could have supported him, except that, in fairness to Germans back then, common knowledge was not as common as it is today. By damning contrast, the prevalence of social media is such today that no sentient being could fail to know about all the diabolical ways Trump is transforming American democracy into his American dystopia. We are all marching along, eyes wide shut, and it hardly matters that some of us are kicking and jeering, while others are jumping and cheering. Indeed, I fear our only consolation is that history will judge Trump's willing enablers like Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Rush Limbaugh, and Rupert Murdoch even more harshly than it has judged Hitler's willing executioners like Heinrich Himmler, Albert Speer, Hermann Göring, and Joseph Goebbels. But I will end with this. I have urged Trump, in a number of commentaries, to copy plea with state and federal authorities to resign before mid-October. This, in exchange for their promise, never to file any criminal charges against him. Cohen suggests that Trump should resign and have Pence pardon him. The problem with that is that the presidential pardon power does not cover state criminal charges, and those are the ones now hanging over Trump's head like a Damoclean sword. Ah, that's it. And if I seemed nervous, I was. But thank you for listening. I'll do better next time. So until we talk opinions again, goodbye.